Welcome back to part two of that classic rock show. Today we are playing songs by the Beatles that get too little airplay. Well, we're going to start here with the next album in 1967, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. It figuratively exploded heads within the music industry. It occurred during 1967's Summer of Love and shifted the thinking of the pop music industry. And many consider it the first concept album, but actually, it's really an album of just cohesive works. And like all other Beatles albums, it rose to the top of the charts in both the UK and USA. McCartney was the driving force behind this album. He wanted to escape the band's mop-top image and to create a flowing work of art, not a string of singles. So he created a fictional band to take the stress off the band known as the Beatles.
And Mark, the creativity was also inside the album, was on the outside of the album. The packaging and the cover art was incredible. It was done by John Haworth, I think I pronounced that right, and Peter Black. Also, the lyrics were on the back cover, something that was never done before.
Yeah, that was really good. I think we all appreciated that.
Yeah.
And for sure, Sgt. Pepper ushered in the psychedelic era with its hallucinogenic imagery. So let's play a fun little song from Sgt. Pepper called Getting Better.
And, you know, Paul got the idea for the title from drummer Jimmy Nicol, who filled in for an ailing Ringo during their 1964 Australian tour. So whenever they asked Nicol how it was going, he would respond, "It's getting better." That was my British accent.
It was good.
So, Mark, how's it going?
Well, I'm getting better all the time, too.
Yes, you are.
Okay.
It's getting better all the time. I used to get mad at my school.
I can't complain.
The teachers that taught me weren't cool.
I can't complain.
They're holding me down.
Oh.
Turning me round.
Oh.
Filling me up with your rules. I've got to admit, it's getting better.
That song makes me so happy. Jim, I'm sure you heard the story. When Paul and George went to see Jimi Hendrix perform at the Seville Theater in London, he opened with the song Sgt. Pepper's. In fact, and I've got the album, there's a Hendrix album where Jimmy performs this in one of his concerts.
Yeah, and that album, Sgt. Pepper's, only came out 3 days before. Quite a tribute to the Beatles.
Yes, and for Jimmy, for learning it so quickly. And Jim, do you remember the waterbed store, Sgt. Pepper's?
Yes, I do.
So, Jim, what did the Beatles have up their sleeve after Sgt. Pepper?
Well, Mark, the band decided to make a film titled Magical Mystery Tour. The movie wasn't too well accepted, but in the UK they did release an EP, extended play album, and, of course, it did very well. And the LP in the USA went number one. The USA version had several wonderful songs not included on the UK EP album, such as Penny Lane, Strawberry Fields Forever, and All You Need Is Love. But I'm going to play a little played song that is on both the UK EP and the US LP. A lot of letters there. And the song is called Your Mother Should Know. It was written by Paul and has a little bit of a ragtime feel to it. It's Paul basically saying, listen to your parents. They do know better.
Let's all get up and dance to a song that was a hit before your mother was born. Though she was born a long, long time ago, your mother should know.
In November of 1968, the Beatles released their ninth studio album in both the UK and the USA, and it was their first on Apple Records. The band simply titled the album The Beatles, but we all call it the White Album. It was their first and only double album.
Now, and in my opinion, Mark, I think it would have been a much stronger album if it was a single album. And it also contains the only Beatles song I won't listen to, which is Revolution Number 9.
Well, the album has great songs, but I totally agree with you. It should have been one record. And I agree, Revolution Number 9 is horrible. But the boys redeemed themselves with a totally different version called Revolution that appeared on the Hey Jude album. And that's one of my favorite Beatles songs. The White Album didn't rely on a studio innovation as much as their last couple of albums. Also, only 16 of the 30 songs on that album have all four members playing together. So it was clear that the band members were going a different direction. And during the making of the album, the person who wrote the song would do the most work. And sometimes John and Paul would simultaneously record in different studio rooms. In the end, it somehow all worked. But there were other problems during the making of this album. There were disagreements about Yoko Ono's constant presence in the studio, and both producer George Martin and Ringo occasionally left the studio unhappy. But the album received great reviews, and of course, what else? It went to number one in both countries. The White Album song we are showcasing today is the John Lennon composition, Cry Baby Cry. He began writing it while the Beatles were in India visiting the Maharishi. All four members play on the song, including George Martin, who plays harmonium. And by the way, that's a reed organ. So enjoy.
Gold was in the kitchen cooking breakfast for the queen. The queen was in the parlor playing piano for the children of the king. Cry, baby, cry, making no sound. For the children's holiday. Cry, baby, cry, make another sound.
pictures of Kikori always smiling and arriving late for tea. The Duke was having problems with a message at the local Airbnb. Table for a seance in the dark, with voices out of nowhere put on specially by the children for a laugh.
Beautiful singing by John there. Just a reminder that you are listening to that classic rock show on WHRULP, Huntley Community Radio, 101.5 FM, and on demand 24/7. Well, the Beatles were obligated for another film and its score, and they didn't want to act in another movie, so the idea for an animated movie was brought up, and they liked it. Unfortunately, the Beatles didn't want to do the voiceover, so it was done by real actors. Though, even though, and I'm sure, Mark, you know this, they did appear very, very briefly at the end of the movie.
Yes.
The film received great reviews, and even John Lennon said it was his favorite movie that they did. It's not my favorite movie that they did, but it was John's, you know.
Not mine either.
And the album Yellow Submarine was released 2 months after the White Album, and it only reached number three in both the U.S. and the U.K., breaking their streak of number one albums. The album had only four new songs on it and six total. But we were going to play Hey Bulldog, which I love, and it's primarily a John Lennon composition with a little help from his friend Paul. Hey, Mark, do you know the original name of the song?
Yes, I think it was Hey Bullfrog.
That's right. It was. Very good. Gosh, you know everything.
I get a cigar.
You do. You could tell the boys were having a little fun with this recording because at the end of it, they're barking and howling and just having a great old time. So, hey, Bulldog. Boys having fun.
Yes.
All right, Mark, next up is possibly the best Beatle album of all time.
Oh, yeah, and I agree. Abbey Road was the 11th studio album released in the UK, and it was named after the location of EMI Studios in London. It topped the charts in both the UK and the US. After the well-publicized conflicts that took place during the Get Back sessions and the White album recording sessions, producer George Martin wanted to get back to the way they used to record. Martin wanted everyone to be a little more relaxed and focused, and for John Lennon to be a little more disciplined. It worked because everyone found the album's recording more enjoyable than preceding sessions, but personal issues still permeated the band. The album's cover graphics were unique because there was no mention of the band or the album title. They just thought everyone would know who they were, and it became the most talked about album cover in rock history. There were a lot of wild rumors worthy of the National Enquirer spread about the idea that Paul was dead. And the conspiracy was generated, of course, by the photo of them crossing the street in order of their deaths. For example, John was in all white representing God. Ringo was dressed in a black suit and he was the Undertaker. Paul was shoeless and out of step with the others, so he was the corpse, of course. And George was wearing jeans and a denim shirt, which meant he was the gravedigger. There was also a VW in the cover photo with a license plate 28 if, which was thought to represent Paul's 28th birthday if he had lived.
That's right. You know, Mark, and of course, Paul was not dead. And because I found this out when Chris Farley interviewed him on Saturday Night Live in 1993, and Paul admitted to the world he was not dead at the time. He was alive.
Well, no band played with the minds of their fans like the Beatles. That was one of the most memorable Saturday Night Live moments. Anywhere, there are a lot of great songs on this album, but we are going to feature a Paul song called Oh, Darling.
Oh, darling.
Well, here's a piece of trivia for you, Jim. On that song, Paul wanted his voice to sound very raw, so he sang it over and over until his voice got a bit shredded. He was also inspired by singer Jackie Wilson. All right, what was the last studio album the Beatles released?
Well, in 1970, Let It Be was their 12th and final studio album released.
And that was a month after they broke up.
Yeah, and of course it went number one.
Duh.
Yeah. The album was originally produced by George Martin, who had produced every album by the Beatles. Lennon and Harrison thought it would be better if Phil Spector was to reproduce the album. Spector went on to reproduce the album, but he overproduced it by adding strings and other embellishments, and he was sharply criticized by McCartney, which led McCartney in 2003 to create the album Let It Be Naked. He reproduced it back to the basic rock and roll style in which the Beatles originally intended.
Yeah, and I like that album better, but there are very few things the Beatles did that were bad, except for Revolution Number 9.
That's true. Yeah, true. But me too. I like the Naked album better. Over the last couple of years, Harrison, his writing was getting very, very good, but he was regularly turned down by the Beatles, by John and Paul specifically.
And by the way, Harrison's debut solo album, All Things Must Pass, contained many of the songs that the guys turned down.
It was the best-selling Beatles solo album of all time. So I guess Lennon and McCartney's egos got a little bit of the best of them.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, not using George's songs. The song we're going to be playing is a George Harrison composition called For You Blue, and it's a love letter for his wife, Patty Boyd. It's a cool little rocker of a song, and it sounds like the boys are having some fun on this one, too. One of the great ad-lib lines during the recording is George saying, "Elmore James got nothing on this, baby."
Well, you know, I love George, but he was no Elmore James. But of course, he was being very tongue-in-cheek, Jim. So here's For You Blue.
Because you're a sweet and lovely girl, I love you. Because you're a sweet and lovely girl, it's true. I love you more than ever, girl, I do. I want you in the morning, girl, I love you. I want you at the moment I feel blue. I'm living every moment, girl.
We're going to close our show with the Beatles song I'm Down, which is one of my favorite all-time rock and roll songs. Here's the boys doing a tribute to Little Richard.
You tell lies thinking I can see. You can't cry cause you're laughing at me. I'm down. Keep it.
Well, that's our show for today. I hope everyone enjoyed it.
Please join us on the Mighty 101.5 FM every Monday from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. or Fridays from 11 a.m. to noon. Or you can listen to our recorded shows anytime on the station's website at huntleyradio.com.
Our book, Classic Rock Photographs from Yesterday and Today, is available on Amazon or my website, jimsamariaphoto.com.
You've been listening to That Classic Rock Show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP, 101.5 FM, and on demand anywhere in the world, including Liverpool, England. And I think they have a good soccer team.
They do. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Thanks for listening, everyone.